We left off last week, I believe, having read the statement of Rabbi Yochanan and discussing the question of being if you're not sure whether you misfollow, being misfollow again. And I think we spoke about Shmuel's statement also. We read, which is that if you started davening and you realize that you davened already, you stop right there. I wanted to just mention one thing. We had a somewhat spirited discussion. Marshall raised the question about Kavanah and Kriya Shma. I mentioned, I don't remember how it came up. It came up in response to somebody's question that when it comes to tefillin, I checked. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber says, if you didn't have Kavanah even for the first bracha, you daven again. And the Rama says, you don't daven again because who says you're going to have Kavanah the next time around? Okay. And by Kriya Shma, I did look. Nobody says that you don't repeat Kriya Shma if you fail to have Kavanah the first time. They would say you're not Yotze if you don't have Kavanah, the way Marshall suggested, and perhaps that should be, you should actually have to repeat. And I haven't seen anybody say explicitly otherwise. I haven't seen it explicitly said one way or the other. You know, I didn't see it says you must repeat, but that would be the logical thing. The only thing I did mention in Shir and I looked at, and I'll share with you, the passage that I probably mentioned many times, but I think, it's worth seeing is the comments of the Ravid. Can people see the screen? My screen? Okay.
Yeah.
So the Rambam in Halacha Zayin, I'll make this a little bigger. So the Rambam writes that Kol Mishu Patur Milikros Kriya Shma. Anyone who's exempt from reading Kriya Shma, whether it's a chassan, you know, a groom who just got married, if he wants to be stringent upon himself and read Kriya Shma, even though he is exempt, he may do so. Vuhu shetehei dato penuya alav. As long as his mind is, he can focus. Avalam hayu hazeh patam ilikros mevuhal. If he's fatumot, I think is the way we would translate mevuhal, is not able to focus. Eina rashai likros. Until he's able to focus. The Ravid writes, Tosav HaRavid Zal, Umabekach, what's the big deal? Yikra, let him read Kriya Shema if he wants to. V'yehek Kore Batorah, it's no worse than reading Chumash. V'lo yiyek Kporek Shem Shemai Me'olav. And it shouldn't be as if he is he is not accepting upon himself God's dominion. V'ein Zedom L'Tfilah, it's not like Tfilah if you can't concentrate. Because tefillah, then what's the point? If you're not concentrating, it's meaningless. Kriya Shema, at least you're reading Chumash, even if you don't have intent. The aim choshesh and atah leyuara, and the Rama says today we're not concerned that somebody who reads Kriya Shema when he is exempt looks like he's a bal gaiva, looks like he's arrogant, because he's showing, I can have so much kavana. Why? Shehadavar yadua l'rova korim v'hamis palalim. It's a known fact for all those who read. I assume Kore means Kriya Shema, Mispalim means Tzila. She'eino ela mitzvah sa'na she'melumada. It's by rote. We daven, but we're not thinking about davening. We're thinking about something else. Gam b'chach meha gemara ha'yum omri kain. We find that sages in the Gemara said, this is a Yerushalmi, kain, mechazikna tevusa l'reishai. One Amora said, I give thanks to my head, when I get to modem, it bows by itself. The idach amar dahave money dimosim begotz lusa. He used to count the tiles in the base medrash when he was davening. The idach amar dechashiv man memate asal bemalka. And another one was thinking who's bringing flowers to the palace today. You know, whose turn was in the rotation. So I'll just note that the Ravid says yadua l'rov hakorim v'hamispalim. In other words, most people read, you know, Kriya Shema and daven, their minds are elsewhere. Now, the examples in the Gemara that he's quoting are only by tefillah, technically. They're not by Kriya Shema. But I do kind of wonder, what was the Ravid's position? In other words, would the Ravid have said today, would he have said that if you read Kriya Shema, but you didn't have so much Kavanah, does that mean you didn't have Kavanah, what we would say the minimal mandatory Kavanah, should you then repeat Kriya Shema or not? Okay, as I said last week, one could argue that there's not such a big downside. Not such a big downside, because you're not repeating brachos. You're just reading psukim. Okay. Anyway, so let's go back now to our Gemara. We had quoted Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Firstly, we had Rabbi Lazar. He said, if you're not sure whether you daven, you don't daven again. Rabbi Lazar said, Levai she is pala adam karim kula. Sounds like he says, no, there's no reason not to daven again. Now the Gemara says, on the first wide line, the Amar Abhiud Amar Shmuel, Haya omei de tfila, v'niskar she is pala. You're in the middle of davening, and then you remember, oops, I davened already. Posek v'afilu v'emsa v'emsabrach. Shmuel says that you stop davening right there. You don't say another word. You can be in the middle of the bracha, you don't finish the bracha. So then the Gemara asks the question, Ini, is that really true? On the third line, the Omer of Nachman, ki havina be Rabba Baravuha, when I was in Rabba Baravuha's house, be'on mine, we asked him, ahani b'nei be'rav zita'u, umad kure d'chol b'shabbos. I mentioned this Gemara last week. If you have, he's talking about the yeshiva bachur. I know that you go to yeshiva, and you see the fervor and the kavana that yeshiva students have when davening. So this is apparently, the generations have improved. Because apparently in the time of Nachman, the yeshiva bachur didn't always have so much kavana. So they're davening. And then they forget that it's Shabbos, and they just start saying Atachon Ein Ladam Das. So Reb Nachman says we asked Rabba Bar Avuha, Mahu Shigmur, should they finish the bracha? The Amar Lon, he said to us, Gomim Kol Osa HaBracha. You finish the entire bracha. So you see that even though you weren't supposed to daven that bracha, once you started it, at least you finished the bracha. So why would Shmuel say that if you started davening, and now you remember that you davened already, you stop even b'emtza bracha? At least finish the bracha that you started. That was the question. I mentioned last week, it's worth repeating, because this happens to me frequently, so I assume it happens to some of you occasionally, that if you start the bracha in a way that is clearly not tefillah Shabbos, you say atachonim, then you finish the bracha, no matter what. If you started with atah, even if it's, so then, but let's say you were about to say atachonim, so it depends on what you know at the time. If you know that it's Shabbos, but it's just kind of your autopilot that's having you say atachonim, because you're not thinking, but you know it's Shabbos. If I ask you, Larry, is it Shabbos? The answer is, of course it's Shabbos, I know it's Shabbos. So then if you haven't said chonim, even though you said atah, since Asa could be Asa Kidashka, Asa Chod, even if it's Shachris, where we say Yisrach Moshe, then you can just say Yisrach Moshe, or say, continue Asa Chod, continue Asa Kidashka. It's only if you think it's actually weekday, and you start to say Asa, and then you realize, oops, it's Shabbos, I forgot that it was Shabbos, now I realize that it's Shabbos. So then, once you said the word Asa, then you continue to finish the bracha. Now, we assume, by the way, this is true by all brachas. In other words, I'm sure some of you have the experience. I've always thought this for a long time, and I heard once one of the Ramim from Gush was giving shir in Camp Stone. And you know what happens when you get to Slach Lanu Avinu Ki Chatanu, and you're about to go klach, where you do klach, so everybody knows that you have to then fake out and pretend you were just scratching your chest in case anybody else saw it. We all know that, because we've all had that experience. So the truth is, it doesn't matter which bracha you start. You could be on the fourth bracha, the seventh bracha. You could be up to Shema Koleinu. And most Rishonim say that you finish the bracha. There is a very interesting position that I don't really understand. It's cited both the Ran and the Rush in the name of Rav Asher Milunel. And Rav Asher Milunel says that the only bracha that you finish, if you started, is Atahone, not any of the other brachas. And the other Rishonim say, based upon what the Gemara is about to explain, that doesn't make any sense. It shouldn't matter what bracha you're in. If you start the bracha, you finish the bracha. So now the
Rabbi?
Yes.
Let's say you say on Shabbos the wrong Shmona Esrei. In terms of, if you say Shacharis, Mincha, you know.
I would, you know, I have to check to know for sure if I were a betting man, you're Yotzei.
Right.
Outside of Musaf, which falls into its own category.
Right.
Which you would need to at least say something about the Psukim, or say Kakasubis or Asecha if you don't cite the Pasuk. But outside of that, I assume that you're Yotzei. If you say Mekadesh HaShabbos at the end, and you've said some type of Nusach HaShabbos, I assume that you're Yotzei. I have to check, but I think so. So the Gemara now has this question. Why is it that according to Shmuel, you stop in the middle of the bracha once you remember that you davened already, but on Shabbos, even though you're not supposed to be davening those brachos, you finish the bracha that you started. So the Gemara says, "Hachi hashka." What kind of a comparison is that? Hasam gavra barchi yuvahu. On Shabbos, in principle, you're supposed to say all 18 brachos. In other words, you're supposed to have the bakashas on Shabbos. Really, by right, whenever you daven, shachmas min chamar, you're supposed to go through all the bakashas, not achonein, all the way through. However, rabbanon hu deloat rachum yishem kol Shabbos. Because it's Shabbos, you know, you don't want to have such a long davening. You don't want to make the shmona so long as the, I mean, the long and necessary. So they cut out the bakashas. You don't have to say the bakashas. So you don't have to say the bakashas. And we would say you're not supposed to. But in principle, you're obligated to say the bakashas. The chachamim gave you an exemption because it's Shabbos. So once you started the bracha, basically you're chayiv anyway. And in principle, you should have been chayiv. So finish the bracha. When it comes to the person davening, who davened already, aval hacha, hatzal nidai. He already davened here, so it doesn't make sense. He's not a bar chiyuva in any, even in the theoretical abstract sense. Okay. So now, the question that the Rishonim all have to entertain is, what is the relationship between Rabbi Yochanan's statement, ulevai sheyisfalo adam kol hayom kulo, which sounds like, even if you're doubtful whether you davened, you can be mispalo, which would seem to be strange if it turns out that you really did daven, you stop in the middle. And then Shmuel's statement. How would Shmuel relate with Rabbi Yochanan? So Rashi writes, "Ulevai sheyispalel adam kol hayom." Rashi is the seven lines from the bottom of the Rashi. He writes, "Vahalachos gedolos pasak halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan b'safei, vahalacha k'Shmuel b'vada hispalel." So he says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan in a situation where you don't know whether you davened or not, so then you could daven again. And maybe you should daven again. And Shmuel's statement that you stop in the middle is if you vaday weren't spala. Now, the question is going to be further, I would say, exacerbated by the next line in the Gemara, third line from the bottom. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, hispalo v'nichnas lebeis haknesa, umatza tzibur shem ispalon. If you enter shul and you find that the tzibur is davening, now the assumption is you have davened already. You davened already. You come to shul for the Gemara shiur that you have to davening. Let's say you daven haneit tachama. You show up to the 8:30 minyan of KJ and you realize, oh, they're davening now. Shiur is not till 9:05. So what do you do? So Shmuel says, im yochal l'chadesh ba'davar, if you can add something that wasn't in your first tefillah. You can add another, an element to it, right? You'll say Shema Kol Ein, and you'll add something that you didn't ask God for in the first time you daven. Or you'll add something until you forgot to add in your Yehi Ratzon in the middle of the bracha requesting healing, refuah. So you're going to daven again, and in Refa'inu, you'll request, you'll say the Yehi Ratzon, and you'll mention a specific person who's sick that you're davening for. So if you can be mechadish, you can make something new, a new twist in the davening that wasn't in your first tefillah. So then, yachzor v'yispal. But v'im lav, al yachzor v'yispal. If you can't add anything new, if you can't create a new, slight, small dimension to your tefillah, then just don't daven. So your tzibur was davening, you davened already, don't daven again. So now the Gemara explains that utzricha, you need both Shmuel's statement that if you started davening already, and then you realize that you daven, that you stop, you don't daven again. And you need Shmuel's statement that if you don't have a chiddush, if you can't create something new in your davening, you can't daven again. Why do you need both of those statements? The i'ash me'inim kamaisa, had you told us only that if you daven, and then you started davening, and then you remember that you davened, and the assumption is that the yachid b'yachid, hani nili yachid b'yachid, that you were davened already privately, and you're davening again privately as a yachid, not part of a minyan. And Shmuel says, stop. Don't finish the bracha. That's specifically yachid b'yachid, or maybe it was tzibur b'tzibur. You're davening with a minyan, and then you realize, oh, I davened with the earlier minyan. So that's what you would think Shmuel's din, that you just stop in the middle and you're done, and you don't do it. That's where you would say it would apply. Aval yachid legabe tzibur, you might have said, is kemanda lo tzali dami. You would have said that when you compare a yachid, someone who davened be yachidus, right? In the last statement to Shmuel, Someone davened already, right? His follow v'nichnas lebeis haknesses. You davened already privately. You enter shul. You find them davening. So there, davening privately, that doesn't compare to davening publicly. It's like you didn't daven. So you just daven again, Dr. Musher.
Is kavanah something that you could add? So in other words, if you're not certain whether you davened tefillah or you did it without kavanah, or you're not sure, can you go back and repeat it? And this time, is kavanah one of the things that you can add to it permit you to repeat it?
I believe that there are achronim who say that. I'm pretty certain if I pull my Mishnah Berurah off the shelf, where the Ramah says that you don't bother because you might not have kavanah. So I think they say you could have a tefillas nedava. And the truth is, we're going to talk about that. But the way we paskin, in order to daven tefillas nedava, you require a chiddush. Right? That's really, we take Shmuel's statement. We say you have to be mechadish something. It doesn't matter. Even if you daven privately, and now you're davening with a min.
But is that a?
So I'm pretty sure that the Mishnah Berurah quotes those who say, but if you want to daven tefillas nedava, and the chiddush will be that you have kavanah. I'm pretty sure those who say that. There's another piece that the Rishonim say already. Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah quote it, and I forget who else says it, that if you're not sure whether you daven or not, you can. We're going to paskin like Shmuel. You don't have to daven again, but you can choose to have a tefillas nedava, and since you're not sure whether you davened or not, that already is the chiddush. That's what they said. So the Gemara says, for Shmuel, you would have thought that only you can't repeat davening, you can't repeat it if you daven biyachid, and now you're davening biyachid again, or you daven with a minion, and you daven with a minion again. But a yachid with a tzibur, you would have thought, of course you can daven again, because that's a totally different level of prayer. Then the Gemara says, so that's why Shmuel had to tell us that even a yachid, even a private individual, someone who davened privately, who now enters shul, cannot daven again with the tzibur if he's not able to introduce a chiddush. And then the Gemara says on this, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, quick question. A chiddush, what does that do? I mean, if the davening wasn't valid beforehand and you're redoing it, what's the concept of a chiddush?
No, so the assumption is that if there's no point in repeating the exact same davening that I did. I daven once in this time. This is Shachris period of time. I daven Shachris. I don't daven again. What's the point of just repeating myself over? But if there's something that wasn't in my first tefillah, now I have a reason to daven if I want. So the Gemara says, on the third line, on Kafala from the base, on the second line, the Iyashkin and Hacha, had you only told us the second statement, namely that if you enter shul and you've davened already privately, and the tzibur is davening, that you can, unless, if you cannot introduce something new, you can't daven, you would have said, that's because you didn't start. That's mishun delo askoba, aval hasam da askoba, once you started davening, then you would say, just go ahead and finish. Eim alo, we would say, you don't stop it, you finish it, and therefore it's tzricha. Therefore, we needed both of Shmuel's statements. So a couple of questions here. So the first thing is, as I said before, what is the relationship between Rabbi Yochanan Shita and Shmuel Shita? So the way Rashi quotes it, it's not entirely clear. Is there really a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel? In other words, is it possible that Rabbi Yochanan only said, as we suggested before, that you can daven again, why not, if you're not sure whether you daven? In effect, that's exactly like Shmuel Din, that you need a chiddush. And the chiddush is here, I'm not sure that I davened, so that's enough to be a novel point. So some would say that there's no debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel. The way Rashi formulates it, quoting the Halachos Gedolos, who was one of the Gaonim, that halacha Rabbi Yochanan b'safek, that we pass like Rabbi Yochanan by a safek, and we pass like by Shmuel by a vadai. So that actually suggests there's a dispute between the two of them. But our psak is some type of a compromise. Okay. So this position though, that if you're not sure whether you daven, you can daven again, If you know that you davened and you remember the middle and you stopped, that I believe is the position in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, one interesting question would be, what would the status of Musaf be? What would the status of Musaf be? So, I'd like to take a few minutes, actually, to look at the Rif here. The Rif has something of a different take on our Gemara, and he raises the very interesting question of Musaf. So, I'm going to, give me one moment, I want to bring up my, not everybody has a Rif, so I'm going to just bring it up, so give me one moment.
Rabbi, it seems that, I mean, I think I'm missing a basic, part of the Gemara here, but to me, this two statements of Shmuel are contradictory. Because in the second statement, he's implying that if you have something new to add, you can daven.
Mm-hmm.
In the first statement, he says that it seems like it's a broad-based ban on further davening, regardless.
So the Rishonim ask your question, in effect, and they ask, essentially, if Shmuel believes that you can simply be mechadesh something, so why don't you just do that? Why do you interrupt in the middle? Like, that's really what it boils down to.
Right.
And their answer is that a tefillah, you can have a tefillah tchova, and you can have a tefillah nadava, but you can't have a hybrid. And the problem is that the person who started began adaita, as they say, the chova. They began with the intent of it being obligatory. And then in the middle, they realized that they fulfilled their obligation. You can't switch to a tefillah nadava in the middle. You can't have a tefillah that's a combination of two different things. But they were actually bothered by the question. So now I'm going to, once again, find the chair. And here you have a passage in the Rif. I wanted to see how the Rif handles this. So, where does he start? So here we have Rabbi Elazar Amar Safek Kara Kriya Shma Safek Lekara Choser Bekore Safek Ispalo Safek Lo Ispalo Eino Choser Mispalo. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ulevai She Ispalo Adam Koyem Kulav. So that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara we just read. He then says, "V'les hilchasakid Shmuel the Amar Kriya Shma Darabanan, the Kaimalon Kriya Shma Daraisa." That's pretty straightforward. We paskin the mitzvah Kriya Shma Daraisa. So of course, if you're not sure whether you sit Kriya Shma, you repeat Kriya Shma. And there he says, "V'hilchasak Rabbi Yochanan the Amar Halavai She Yispala Adam Kaveim Kulo." We do paskin Rabbi Yochanan. "U'mefarshi Rabbanon, the Hani Mili Biyachid." The adaita de rishus. That is only an individual, not a tzibur, meaning the community can't have, let's daven shachris again. Under any circumstances. And it has to be with the intention of, this is a voluntary tefillah. Aval adaita de chova, osur. To daven again, with the assumption is that this is actually an obligation, is prohibited. He's going to say a little later, it's like baltosis. It's like bringing the karban that you're chayav to bring a second time. And then he says, "V'tzibur bein adaita dechova, bein adaita derishus aser." The tzibur cannot have another davening, even if they indicate that it's a voluntary davening. The kaimalon, the tfilos keneged to midim tikkum. Tfilos were intended to correspond to the daily sacrifices. Uchashem she'en ha-tzibur maybe olas nedava, kach en ha-tzibur mispalalim filas nedava. Just as the tzibur cannot bring a voluntary karban, so too the tzibur cannot daven a voluntary fila. Now here, a lot of Rishonim take issue with the Rif. The Baal Amor says he doesn't know what the Rif is talking about. The Gemara, Chazal talk about an institution of known as Olas Kayat HaMizbeach. If those of you who've done Daf Yomi might be familiar with this from who knows when we did Shkalim. We often say that if the Hekdesh winds up with certain money, we say Yiplu L'Nedava. What was the Nedava? That when there were long days in the summer, and there weren't so many karbanos being brought, and it wasn't nice that nothing was going on the Mizbeach, so they would take these monies and they would bring karbanos Ola from the Tzibur. So that's a nadava. Amazingly, I don't know how many other times this happens, but the Ra'avid acknowledges the Baal Hamor and doesn't attack him. He agrees with him and adds further questions on the riff he doesn't understand. So that really, that's deserving of a Shachrianu, actually. The Ra'avid not going after the Baal Hamor, wholeheartedly. But the riff continues. He says, Aval ha-yochid mispalo tfilas nadava, shekein ha-yochid, maybe olas nadava. A yochid can bring a voluntary ola, and therefore the yochid can daven a voluntary tfila. Hilkach, ein ha-yochid mispalo tfilas ha-musafin, tfilas nadava, shein misnade be-karban musaf. You can't, a karban musaf is not a private individual's karban. It's the tzibur's karban. And therefore, says the Rif, you cannot volunteer, even a yachid, a karban musaf. Now, this, by the way, I said, and the Rif may say this explicitly, but I think this is quoted by other Rishonim, the rule that we have on Shabbos, that if you start a bracha of the Yurches brachos, of the middle brachos that you say during the week, you finish it, does not apply to musaf. Because musaf does not normally have Yurches brachos, right? Atachonein, and Hashivenu and Slach Lanu, etc., are not part ever of Tfilas Musaf. So it's not as if you can say that really you should have made 18 brachos. But, you know, the Chachamim didn't want to bother you. But if you started a bracha, then you finish it. Nothing doing. I mention this because there's a long Tosfos that we're not going to do. We're not going to do the long part on Chaf Aleph on the days. But Tosfos there is deeply bothered. This is the point that Tosfos makes. Tosfos is bothered because there's a Yerushalmi that sounds as if that when they said Musaf on a weekday, they actually used to say Yurches Brachos plus somewhere the Bracha of Musaf. At the end of the day, Tosfos and other Rishonim either say that it's clearly against what the Gemara or against the Tosafta, and some of them say it's an incorrect Girsa, it's an incorrect manuscript in the Yerushalmi that nobody ever said that you would say Yurches Brachos. So I think the consensus is pretty strong that on Shabbos, if you start at Achonim and Musaf, you just stop right there and you go to Tikkun to Shabbos. Because Musaf is not a tefillah that in principle should have been 18 brachos, but the Chachamim let us off the hook. Okay. But now the riff continues and he says, V'hada Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Haya Omei V'tfila V'nizka Shekar Hispalel Posek Afilu Be'em Tabracha. So what do you do? If I paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, what do you do with the fact that Shmuel says you stop in the middle? Mefarshi la Rabbanan Kigon Shispalel Tfilaso Adaita Techova. You started davening, and David, this is what we mentioned before, you started davening with the intent of it being an obligation. V'shachach Shekar Hispalel, you forgot that you davened. The Amad L'spalal Adaita Dechova, you got up to daven with the intent that this is an obligation, not just voluntary. The Nizkar Shekar Hispalal, then Posek Ba'afilu Ba'em Sabracha. She'im Bala Gomra, if you're going to finish the Bracha, Nimsa Kini Shemakur Shmei Tli the Meshachwes, Shu Over Mishim Bal Posef. Since you started doing Adaita Dechova with the intent that it's an obligation, it's like bringing to its meeting. The Ravid says he doesn't know what the Rif is talking about here. But that's what the Rif says. U'lefichach Posek Ba'afilu Ba'em Sabracha. Ubeha afilu Rabbi Yochanan mode. Rabbi Yochanan would agree with Shmuel. The loka am Rabbi Yochanan ulvai she ispal adam kala yom kulo, ela tfilas nedava, kigon tachanunim v'chayotze v'hem. If it's a tfilas nedava, then that's just, you're asking God for something. Aval tfilas chova loka amar. So understand for a moment what the Rif is doing here. The Rif is assuming that Rabbi Yochanan does not require a chiddush. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't require a chiddush. Shmuel does, and he's going to quote Shmuel. But Rabbi Yochanan does not require a chiddush. The only thing Rabbi Yochanan requires, according to the Rif, is that you do it with the intention of it being voluntary, of being an adava. But if it's not with the, if you started as a chova, then Rabbi Yochanan agrees you have to interrupt. But if you started as an adava, Rabbi Yochanan says, you don't need any chiddush. You want to daven and get a tzias nedava? Jake is untaped. Not a problem. Shmuel is the one who says you need a chiddush. So the Rif continues. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mitzisal v'nichnas tabeis ha-kneset, Zumata tzibu shemitzalim, And I think, is he going to say somewhere, he might explicitly, I don't know if he's going to explicitly reject it, but his assumption is that we don't paskin like Shmuel, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. So as long as you do it with the intention of tefillah sadava, no chiddush required. Most Rishonim don't agree with the Rif. They assume, if Rabbi Yochanan didn't require chiddush, that we paskin like Shmuel, or perhaps even further, Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel don't disagree. When Rabbi Yochanan says, Ulevai she'isfal adam kol yom kulo, it means either if you didn't know whether you davened or not, so that we mentioned that before, Rabbeinu Yonah says that explicitly, that if a suffik, not knowing whether you davened, that itself constitutes a chiddush to daven again. Or you have to say that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Shmuel, that he says you don't need a chiddush, but we paskin like Shmuel. And that, I believe, is how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Any questions about this particular piece? Okay, so now we're going to continue in the Gemara. And the Gemara on Chafala from a day quotes something very interesting which happens to many of us on occasion. Fourth line, Amar Rav Huna. You come into shul, chas shalom, late. And the tzibur already started davening their Shmon Esrei. And now you're going to start. But you understand what the problem is, right? I think most of us have learned, I know we mentioned the shir at one point, that I'm going to start davening, but I'm not going to finish davening before the shliach tzibur, before the chazan begins his davening and gets to Kedusha. And we know that when you're in the middle of davening, you can't answer Kedusha. The Gemara is going to actually raise the question here, but you cannot answer anything in the middle of davening. You can't even answer Yehi Shmei Rabba Mavarach. In the middle of Shmon Esrei.
Yeah.
Your own Shmon Esrei. You can't answer Yehi Shmei Rabba. So the question is, what are you going to do? What should you do? So the Gemara says the following: Rahuna say, "Im yachol lahaschil v'ligmar ad shelo yagiach shibut shliach tzibur lamodim." If you can start and finish your Shmona Esrei before the shliach tzibur will reach modim, then yispala, you should start davening. But v'imlav al yispala, you should wait till the tzibur gets to modim. Now understand something here. Why, you know, what is the downside to doing the following? What is the downside to waiting until the Shliach Tzibur begins and davening along with the Shliach Tzibur? And you know in our circumstances, and the Rishonim say it here, is that you can take a douche. I think Tosis at the bottom of the page mentions that if you start with the Shliach Tzibur, let's say you come in to really late means 5 minutes behind the Tzibur, you're up to Gal Yisrael, the Chazan starts the Chazar Hashat. So you say word for word with the chazan, and then you say kedusha along with the tzibur. So why not do that in the first place, you know, if there's any doubt? So the downside to that is that that's not really tefillah b'tzibur. The real tefillah b'tzibur is to daven along with the tzibur. And no matter what kind of fancy interpretation you want to offer in explaining chazaras hashat, that it's the tefillah of the community, like the Rav used to say, it doesn't change the fact that that's not tefillah b'tzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur is we're all davening together. Ideally, you want to start with the tzibur. Okay, so here you didn't start with the tzibur, but at least you might overlap with them while they're davening silently. You're davening silently, so you're a little bit behind. So Rav Huna says that the decision process is the decision you should make is based upon whether or not you'll be able to reach modem. Because apparently not to say modem with them would be a problem. And Tosis is going to talk about why. That was Rav Huna's opinion. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, Im yachol lahaschil v'ligmar at shelo yagi ha-shliach tzibur l'kedusha, yispala, v'im lav al yispala. So this is, in fact, the way we paskin, that if the chazan is going to reach kedusha before you're finished, and you will therefore be unable to answer kedusha, you wait to start your Amida. So you can answer Kedusha. You could either wait, and if you don't have Smicha Skula or Tfila, you know, after Ga Yisrael, you just answer Kedusha. Or you could start your Tfila with the Shliach Tzibur, and you'll say Kedusha exactly where the Chasen says Kedusha. So the Gemara says, but my Kalapagi, what is the point of departure? Or as we would say in the Beis Medrash, what is in the Kudas HaMachlokas? Literally, the point of, I guess, departure or dispute between Rav Huna and Rav Shimon Levi. Why does Rav Huna ignore Kedusha? It's really the question. Yeah. Right? In other words, if you can't finish your davening before the Shliach Tzibur reaches Modim, you're certainly not going to finish it before he reaches Kedusha. So why did Rav Huna have everything depend upon whether he reaches Modim? Or put differently, according to Rav Huna, if you'll miss Kedusha, but you're able to say Modim, not a problem. So the Gemara says, but my Kamapalgi, what are they arguing about? The Gemara explains that Mar Savar Yochet Omer Kedusha, Umar Savar Ein Yochet Omer Kedusha. So the way Rashi explains, this is very interesting, the Machlokes is, when an individual is davening in the Tzibur, are they allowed to say Kedusha, even though they're not saying it, with the Shliach Tzibur, with the Tzibur? So then that sounds very strange to us, because we know the answer to the question is no. But I want to point out something which I haven't checked, but I'm almost certain that this is the halacha, which would be parallel to Rav Huna's idea, that even though you're not saying Kedusha with the Tzibur, as long as you're davening in the Tzibur, in your private Shemone Esrei, because you're missing Kedusha, you can just say Kedusha. Slichos. If you say Slichos, not of the Minyan, so you have to either leave out the Yud Gimel Midos, or you have to lay them and read them as if they're Psukim, not as if you're saying Slichos. Because the Yud Gimel Midos require a Minyan. So what happens if you walk into it, often happens to many of us, you walk into Slichos a little bit late. And instead of, you don't want to skip up to where they are, instead you're going to catch up. But the thing is, when the Shliach Tzibur finally gets to Vayivar Hashem Al Panav Vayikra and starts to say, you're still in the middle of the Pismon or whatever paragraph of the Slicha that precedes him. And by the time you get to the Yud Gimel Midos, the Chazan is already in the next paragraph. So you're going to end up saying the Yud Gimel Midos by yourself. I'm fairly certain. Don't act upon this next Slichos season. We have a while, unless I confirm this. I'm fairly certain that you're allowed to say the Yud Gimel Midos, not as reading Sukkim, but as the Yud Gimel Midos, because you're B'tzibur. You're in the Tzibur that's saying Slichos. Therefore, even though you're behind them, you're not saying it literally with them. You can say it. That would be analogous to what Rashi is suggesting for Rav Huna here. Rav Huna says it doesn't matter whether you can reach Kedusha before the Shliach Tzibur gets there. If you don't, it's not a big deal. You'll just say Kedusha yourself. So that's Mar Savar Yachar Omer Kedusha, Umar Savar Ein Yachar Omer Kedusha. And then the Gemara says, V'chein, you have to amend here, V'chein Amar Rav Yitzchak Ein HaYachar Omer Kedusha. The Gemara, the Rift version is, Rav Yitzchak says a Yachar doesn't say Kedusha. And then the Gemara just quotes, Amar Rav Adav Rava, Minayin She'ein HaYachar Omer Kedusha, Shenemar v'niktashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. The Torah gives us a command of Kiddush Hashem. And Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name, it has to be done b'soch b'nei Yisrael, which as we're going to see in a moment, means in a minyan. It's for this reason, incidentally, unrelated to our Gemara, that the obligation of giving up one's life when a non-Jew, let's say, threatens you to kill you unless you do this Avera because he wants to make you violate this Avera, that only applies when it's b'fnei asara mi Yisrael, before 10 Jews, because if it's not b'soch b'nei Yisrael, then there's no obligation of the nikdashti. In our Gemara, it's not about giving up one's life to Kiddush Hashem, but it's literally being mekadesh Hashem, sanctifying God. That's what Kedusha is. So it says v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, that Kedusha has to be in the midst of the Jewish people. Kol davar shebekdusha lo yehei pachos me'asari, at least 10. And of course, the Gemara asks immediately, "My mashma, how do you know that that pasuk, b'soch b'nei Yisrael, means there are 10 Jews there? Maybe it's 6, maybe it's 14. So the Gemara says, the Tani Rabbi Noi Achua the Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. Rabbi Noi, the brother of Chia Bar Abba, said, Asya Toch To, you have a Gzeirah Shava. Ksiv Hacha V'nikdashti B'self B'nei Yisrael. In our pasuk, it uses the word Toch. Uksiv Hasam Ki Badalu Mitoch Ha'idah Hazos. The Torah says, in the Parsha, here it's the Parsha of Korach, but I don't know if that makes sense. It's supposed to be the Toch by the Meraglim, actually. So the Gemara says, Ma lahalon asara afkan asara. Just as by the Meraglim, there were 10 people, and that was called Toch. He badlu mi Toch haidazos. Moshe and Aaron were told to separate yourselves because God wanted to kill them. So too, afkan asara. You need 10. So that's how you know. I always find this kind of interesting, because if that were the case, perhaps you should require 10 rishoyim for a minyan. But nonetheless, we only go so far. We only use it for the number. The number is 10. I think the Gemara and Megillah actually has a second Zera Shava, Eda Eda. They learn from Adas Meraglim to Adas Korach. Because Adas Meraglim, we know there were 10 people. How do we know there were 10 people? Because there were 12 spies, but two of them were tzaddikim. That was Yoshua and Kalev. So it was only the 10 spies. They're called an Eda, and here it's Hibadlu mitoch hadazos, and from here we learn toch toch that Nidikdashi b'sof b'nei Yisrael is amongst 10 people. Okay. Now, a number of the Rishonim asked a very, very important question here. Yes, valid question?
Can I just say, but the toch is not always 10 people. I mean, it's sometimes used for many more. I mean, Asu li mikdash, and
yes, it has the markings of an asmachta. That's what I would guess. I would surmise, even though I might be wrong, that there might be two ways of going about it. The more likely way is that we have, the Chazal had a tradition, we had a Kabbalah, that what is considered a tzibur is a minimum of 10. The alternative is to argue that you have to employ the principle of tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta, that you take a minimalist approach when you engage in exegesis. So while there might have been tzibors bigger than 10, nonetheless, this is the smallest time we find the toke is 10, and therefore that's assumed. We assume that, the truth is here at the leniency. You might say that for a minion, you really need 100, people. But by Kiddush Hashem having to give up your life, it's a stringency. And therefore we would say that you can't necessarily be lenient and say, well, I only have to give my life to 100 people. Even if there are 10 people, I have to give up your life. Okay. Now, here's the question some of the Rishonim ask, and it really branches off into a broader discussion. The idea that any davar shebe kedusha, this statement here of Rabbi Ada Bar Abba is actually found in the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah says that there are a bunch of things, the Mishnah says, that there are a bunch of things that you cannot do if you don't have a minion. You can't duchen, the Kohanim can't the duchen, you can't be poreis al hashma, whatever that means, you can't, I think, a tefillah b'tzibur, if I'm not mistaken, is in that Mishnah. There are several things that you can't do, and you can't be mezamein b'shem, and you can't say nevarech leilokeinu shachal mishalo. You can't do any of those things if you don't have a minyan. And they learn from this drasha that all davar shebekdusha requires 10. So they ask, how can a refuna say that yachad mispalo kedusha? So what most of the Rishonim say is that no. Kriyashma, they say, is a davar shebekdusha. You don't require a minyan for Kriyashma. So it means that there were certain kinds of davar shebekdusha, certain specific examples, the Chachamim say you need a minyan. But that doesn't mean every time you engage in an act of kedusha, in some way being mekadesh shem shemayim in some fashion, it doesn't necessarily mean that you require a minyan. So Rav Huna, this kedusha in the Amidah is not listed in the Mishnah in Megillah. It's not there. And therefore, Rav Huna says, this davar shebekdusha does not require a minyan. That is what they answer. Now, this idea that a yachid doesn't, we paskin, I think as you probably know, we paskin that a yachid does not say kedusha. You know, even the way Rashi says it, that if you're davening in shul, you're davening with a minyan, but you're behind, you do not say kedusha in your private amida. You don't. We actually say kedusha during the week three times. On Shabbos we do also three times, but on Shabbos we do it twice in the morning and once by mincha. During the week we do kedusha three times in davening. Where's there kedusha three times in davening? Number one, there's kedusha of yotzer or, as it's called. We say kedusha in the first brach of Kriyat Shema. We say kadosh kadosh and baruch kvod Hashem. We then say kedusha in the Amidah. And then we say what's called Kedusha de Sidra, which is Uvalatzion. We read the Pasuk of the Karazel Zaremar Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh. We read its Targum. We read the Pasuk of Atisei Niruach Hashmach Raifarash Kadol. And then we read its Targum, its Aramaic translation. And then we read the Pasuk of Hashem Yimloch Olam Moed, the theme of Malchus. In the Amidah, we don't use that Pasuk. We use Yimloch Hashem Le'olam, but it's the same idea. And then we give the Targum, the Aramaic translation of that. Of that pasuk. All of the Rishonim, I believe, agree that a private individual can say Kedusha de Sidra. Why? Because it's not really a Kedusha. It's more like you're reading Sukkot. But there was a major machlokas ha-ga'onim. Whether or not, if you are privately you're davening without a minyan, are you allowed to say the Kedusha of Yotzer Or, or do you actually skip over Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kvod Hashem? If I'm not mistaken, but I'm not 100% sure on this, the Rambam might say, be one of those who say that you don't say it. You skip over. Right? You would say, Kudusha Kulam Kehad, and then you would just say, Alakel Baruch Nimosh Yitenu. You just skip over it, because it's Kedusha, and Kedusha requires a minyan. And others of the Gaonim say no, that Kedusha of Yotzar is no different than Kedusha the Sidra. And if you want to say, as a Yachid, it's more like you're reading Sukkim. Really, if I won't ask anybody, because if you would ask me what is the Kedusha that we, what are we doing in Yotzer, or what is that Kedusha, I wouldn't have thought about it until I noted the description that's just given. The reason why you can read it is we're just describing what goes on in heaven. That's all we're doing. We're not being Mekadesh Hashem. We're saying all, we describe God's Misharsim. We say Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Brurim, Kulam Gibarim, Chosim, Ratzonam, Kulam Poschim, Es Piyem B'Kedusha, Uvatara, they all open their mouths, and Chulam Mikablim Aleim Al Chomashamayim Zeh. Who's the Chulam? Not us. It's the angels. And then he say, Kedusha Kulam Kechad Onim V'Yomrim B'Yira. The angels respond and say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And then the Ofanim V'Chayos HaKodesh, the other angels, they respond and turn Baruch Kod Hashem Imkoma. We're not saying Kedusha. Only in the Amidah are we actually saying Kedusha. In the Amidah, what happens? The Chazan begins by saying, Nikadesh Hashimcha Ba'olam. Let us sanctify your name in the world. And he sets it up a Karzel Zavemach, and then the Tzibur screams, Kadosh, 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 just like the angels do in heaven. The angels, they say Kiddush in heaven, and we say Kiddush on earth. That's what happens. So the only Kiddusha that's actually really Kiddusha, that we're being the Kaddush Yom Shamayim, is in the Amidah. But even Yotzer Ma'oros is just descriptive. So that's why many Gaonim say, and that's why I believe it is the standard practice, that even if you happen to be davening at home, you still say Kedusha of Yotzer Or. You do not say Kedusha in your Amidah. And even if you were davening in shul, and the tzibur wasn't saying Kedusha at the time, we wouldn't hold like Rav Huna, we wouldn't say that you can say Kedusha in your Amidah.
Rabbi,
but, yeah.
I think I know, but I wanted to check. And Uvalat Zion?
Yeah.
So, are there any issues around saying Kadosh there?
Everybody said, say you're reading Sukkim and they're Targum. That is nobody. I don't want to say nobody. I'm not aware of anybody who says when the Rishonim that you don't say it. When the Rishonim discuss it here, the question is to what do you compare the when they discuss Kedusha of Yotzer Or, what do you compare it to? The Kedusha of the Amidah or Kedusha of the Sidra? If you compare it to Kedusha of the Amidah, then you wouldn't be able to say it unless you're B'tzibur. If you compare it to the Kedusha of the Sidra, then it's perfectly fine to say it.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I always found this concept of a minyan that's such an important integral part of our traditional Jewish society hangs on a flimsy asmachta. It's like, you know, taking a round peg in a square hole. It just, you know, it seems to be sort of a disconnect.
I suspect, Isaac, I strongly suspect that this is a Kabbalah. And that, in other words, it's been, I assume when it comes to Kiddush Hashem and Dayo Kiddush Hashem, that's the one place where Minyan is Oraisa. Interestingly enough, it's the only place that women, I think it's probably assumed count towards the Minyan. By the one case that Minyan is Oraisa, which is Dayo Kiddush Hashem. So there, I assume that's within Oraisa. Either it's a Kabbalah, or you have to say it's one of those dinim. The Torah says the Nikdash Jibis Sok B'nai Israel, which clearly implies there are other Jews present, and the Chachamim, the Torah left it up to the Chachamim to be kovei out what the shir would be. We have such things in Halacha where there are real dinim d'oraisa that the Torah left up to the Chachamim to sort of limn the contours up. So I don't assume that this double Gzeir Shava, as it's presented in Megillah, is really the source for Minyan. I don't assume. I assume it's a din d'oraisa. I assume it's some type of Kabbalah or something along those lines.
I actually think that the concept of 10 before Gemara times existed for 1,000 years beforehand.
And do we have any evidence that it's true within halachic / Jewish circles?
Yes, but I'm not going to get into it now, but okay. I'll send you some information on it if you like, that I did some research on years ago. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Rabbi.
Yes.
No, sorry, we established that if you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei, you don't say Kedusha. If you start with the Shatz and you get to Kedusha, you say it with him.
Yep.
What about if you're in the middle of Shema Kolenu? Can you say Kedusha then?
I think not. Because it's not about Kasha.
Okay.
So it's fundamentally interrupting.
Okay. So it's in the wrong place. So right. Therefore it. Okay.
Right. Okay. The comment, by the way, if you start with the Ashat, that you can say Kedusha is the bottom Tosus, the little Tosus. We can take a look at that for a second. The bottom Tosus of Chavav on base. The Chain Halacha of Omispala Yudches and Machazin, Lechshagi Ashat LeKedusha. If you're davening with the Chazin, when he reaches Kedusha, Yomar, Imishleach Tibur, Nekadesh, the Chola Kedusha, Mishalim Yachalano, Samat Tibur, to Einzeh Karu Yochid. Once the Tibur saying it, even though it's in the middle of your private Shemot Esrei, and the rest of the Tibur has already davened, it's just the Shliach Tibur, just the Chazin, that's called saying it with a tzibur.
Is that the source of Kedusha Gavoha? Of Hefa Kedusha?
Well, I mean, yes, it would. I don't think this is the source. I'm not really sure what the source is, but yes, that is consistent. Right? Those who say that you're supposed to, there's a machlokas about this. Should you wait for the, after Kedusha to start, or should you say the whole thing along with the Shleach Tzibur? but certainly there we do say, some say, and if Zman Mincha is running out, then everybody pretty much says you stay along with the Chazan, you daven with the Chazan, and you say the Kedusha with him. But I'll tell you, Larry, that's different actually, because there, the whole Tzibur is davening together. That's better than this case, where the Tzibur has davened, but only the Shliach Tzibur is repeated. Okay. Now, I want to just read very briefly till the end of the Gemara here. We still have to talk about Modim, we don't have time tonight. So that will be, God willing, Bezos Hashem next Sunday. And just a reminder, I assume Lenny will send out, next Sunday we'll be on Zoom. So it'll be regular time, 9:15, but it will be over Zoom. And you won't see this background behind me. There'll be a different background. So, okay. So the Gemara asks one last question, which is, Mahu lahav ibai lahu. Which is really Yeheshmeh Rabbah. Agadol is just the Hebrew of Rabbah. Can you interrupt for that? Which would suggest that this is the most important things that we say. The Gemara says, Ki Asa Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, he quoted in the name of Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon, Talmidei Rabbi Yochanan, these two students of Rabbi Yochanan, Amrei Lakol E Mafsikim, Chutzman Yeheshmeh Agadol Mavarach, that you're not allowed to interrupt for anything in tefillah, except for Yeheshmeh Rabbah, Shafim Osek B'masem Rekava. Even if you're deeply engaged in the most esoteric things of Judaism, of mysticism, nonetheless Posek, you interrupt to say Yeheshmeh Rabbah Mavara, And then the Gemara says, the Lasel Chasek Kavasek. We don't paskin that way. We do not interrupt our Amida at all. There is a machlokas harishonim, really what we do though, what you should be doing. Some say that really you don't bother stopping because there's no point. You can't answer Kedusha if there's no reason to. However, Rashi is quoted by the other Rishonim that if you are in the middle of davening, and we've touched upon this, if you're in the middle of davening and the Shechazim reach Kedusha, you stop and you remain silent. That's our practice. And Rashi says somewhere that you fulfill Shomei Ka'ona, as if you're answering just by listening. And other Rishonim, some Rishonim say, wait, but that's not right because then you're interrupting. So they say, no, even though it's like your own ass, just as we saw earlier by Abal Keri, he's the Harer, even if we say that Hero is Kedibur Dami, it's still different than Dibur. It's not the same thing as Dibur, even though you're Yotze with it. So here, it's not a hefsek in your davening, but you're kind of Yotze with it, but it's not a hefsek because you don't actually say it yourself. And then the only question is, well, if that's the case, why does Rabbi Shulman Levi say, don't start your Amida if you can't get to Kedusha with the Shleach Tzibur, just to rely upon being silent and you fulfill your obligations from Akona? So the answer that we've shown him give here, Rabbeinu Yonah says it, Tosas might say it somewhere, which is, yeah, but it's better to be Ona yourself than to rely upon Shemei Akona. Okay, so the bottom line is, we do not interrupt to say anything in the middle of the Amida. You're supposed to try to, you should wait, if you come in late, you should wait to start with the Shleach Tzibur if you're not going to be able to finish your Amida before you get to Kedusha. And if you did start, however, maybe you just have a long Amida and you never finish, or this time you don't finish in time, then you just remain silent during Kedusha. Remaining silent during Kedusha, by the way, means not just for Kadosh, Baruch, and Yimloch, but also until the end of Akela Kadosh. Through Akela Kadosh and the Amen at the end is part of Kedusha. So that you would wait silently, and once the Chazan gets there, then you will go on. God willing, next week, we'll talk about the issue of Modim, because that actually still plays a role. Even though we possibly like Rabbi Shimon Levi, Modim is actually also a concern, and we'll talk about what you do and what the issues are in Modim. Any questions? Any other questions? Tonight?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for accommodating my morning schedule. And yes, Hashem, I will see you next week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good week.